Nice to see you all this morning. It's not only a responsibility for churches to be involved in missions, it is also a privilege to be involved in missions and to be partnering with people all around the world to do what we could not do alone. And just to have the opportunity to support people as they go out and share the good news of Jesus with different cultures, different people groups, I consider that a great, great privilege. And I'm very thankful to the Lord that He has allowed us as a church that has merged together to support 17 different ministries. Some of these missionaries are single, some of them are couples, some of them are families, and some of them are organizations. We support 17 of them. And we haven't yet had an opportunity to meet all of our missionaries because of the merger. And we have an acronym, though, that guides our thinking, guides our decision-making, guides our commitments, and the acronym is SPEAK. Some of you may remember that. But S stands for support missionaries financially. That's one of the ways that we invest in our missionaries, that we support them financially. P is we pray for them. E is that we seek to encourage them. A is we assist them in their needs. And K, we keep in touch. And last but not least, when they are with us, we let them speak. And so today we have Rod Black with us, and it's the first time that I've had an opportunity to meet Rod, so I can't go into too much detail about him or his ministry. He will come and share that himself. But Rod, it's real privilege to get to know you. And those of you who would like to meet Rod later, after the service, we are going to have some Chinese food together just at the corner at Sunlock Restaurant, and you're welcome to come and join us. So Rod, if you'll come, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, brother. Thank you, Pastor. It is a privilege to be back here. As I was saying to some of you before the service started, I know this building really well. Now I'm getting to know the church. It's been a long time since I have been here. My wife and I met in Vancouver at Northwest Baptist Theological College, and part of my training was in Ruth Morton Baptist Church with the Christian Service Brigade about a million years ago. And working with the kids, trying to work with the kids, learning how to do that. Fortunately, all photographic evidence of that time has been destroyed because it was embarrassing at times, but we enjoyed it. The pastors that you've had here over the years, Rod Wilkinson, Dick Reeves, have worked with them. And it is an honor to be with you today to share with you what my wife and I have been doing with Fellowship International and the international arm of your Fellowship Baptist denomination. So next slide. My wife and I went out in 1983 to Pakistan, and we served there until 2011. And our time was spent in various ministries in that country. Next slide. We worked in the country of Pakistan in South Asia, and we're in the southeast corner of Sindh. So Pakistan is about the size of British Columbia, but we have a slightly larger population of about 180 million. Okay, next slide. Pakistan is a majority Muslim country, and the evidence of that is visible everywhere you travel. Next slide. You mention Pakistan nowadays, and probably the first thing that comes to mind is terrorism. Next slide. And since 9/11, over 40,000 Muslims have been killed in Pakistan through terrorist acts. So yes, Pakistan is very, very aware of terrorism. Next slide. Religious leaders in Pakistan influence every aspect of life, including politics, economics. Next slide. But the Islam that is there is also very, very superstitious, and most people will go to the shrines of long-dead Muslim saints to pray to them for Allah to send blessings. Next slide. Our province of Sindh has many, many different ethnic groups within it. We were primarily working with the 25 million Sindhi speakers in that province. Next slide. Our four children were all born in Pakistan. Two of them are married. All four of them are living in Western Canada now. We are very proud grandparents as well of three grandsons. Next slide. Our ministry in Pakistan was meeting with people in their home or ours and in praying with them. Next slide. Teaching them, sharing them with them the good news that we had experienced in our own lives. Next slide. Visiting people in their homes. For Donna, it was a matter of being sometimes the first white person to have been in that neighborhood for as long as anybody could remember, and then that meant that everybody had to come over and see this white lady from Canada. So it's a great way to meet the neighbors. Next slide. Getting to know people through the time that we were in Pakistan. So through births, through marriages, funerals, drinking lots and lots of cups of real chai over there, getting to know people's lives. Next slide. For those who came to faith, we were involved in training and in discipleship, seeing God raise up leaders for the new church. Next slide. God also gave us a love for music. I haven't sung Gustav Holst's Planets. Oh man, that was nice to do that this morning in your hymn. Thank you, worship team, for that. We were able to use our love for music in getting to know the local music styles in Pakistan and to encourage believers to write new music in their language and their style. Next slide. We also taught the Bible using something called the chronological Bible storying method, starting with creation, working our way through the Bible to Jesus and the resurrection, and to assist women who couldn't read to remember what order the stories were in. Donna put together a Bible storying quilt. And so those 16 panels represent 16 Bible stories in order, and the details of the stories are in those patterns. So a woman who can't read still has part of the Bible there that she can put out when the guests come, and hopefully the guests are going to ask, what kind of quilt is that? Let me tell you about that. Next slide. Towards the end of our time there, we were involved in a small house church. One man had come to faith from a Muslim background, led his wife to the Lord. Her mother came to the Lord, and then her brother and his wife. So that was our tiny little house church before we came back to Canada. Next slide. 2011, our youngest graduated from high school, and we knew at that point that it was time to return to Canada. Next slide. Our connection with Pakistan didn't end, as the team there asked me to revise and update all of their Sindhi Christian literature. Next slide. I edit the books here in the computer and then have believers in Pakistan proofread the files and make sure that the books are coming out okay. Next slide. And that's some of them. We have a few of them at the back there on the table as well, if you want to take a look at what kind of books we are producing for the team there. Next slide. But something new that has developed in Pakistan is that there are over 120 million smartphones. Their phones are smarter than mine every time I go over to Pakistan. Everybody has one, including the guys who are now involved in distracted driving behind me. Thanks to our partners in Pakistan, next slide, we've been able to put the Bible, our songbook, audio files for the songs of the songbook, our videos, and most of our Christian literature into ebook format so that people can download it all onto their phones and watch the videos, listen to the songs, or read our books in the privacy of their homes. Next slide. The videos that we've produced, we've had to use popular Muslim actors who have happily loaned their voices to these Christian videos. And then they get to hear the whole script as they're producing it. Next slide. The Bible Correspondence School in Pakistan sends out Bible courses to hundreds of Sindhis throughout the province. They're our biggest partner in distributing the books, the videos, and the e-books. Next slide. They visit students all over the province and are now regularly meeting. The student is the one on the left, okay? And our worker is the one on the right. Don't you wish you had more students like that in your Bible class? Your nod. Okay, yes, all right, that's the right answer. They're regularly meeting at five locations now for Bible study and worship. Next slide. Something else they organize is a family camp where they invite people who have made a profession of faith from all over the province to get together. And they're now upwards of 150, 160 people meeting at these camps for fellowship. And for many of them, it's the first time they've ever met other believers other than the person who led them to the Lord. Next slide. They're taught about family life, how to raise children, how to have a family worship time, and then they're intended to take that information back to their village and try to start a house church there. Next slide. The second hat that I wear, in addition to working with the media in Pakistan, the second part is coaching our churches here in Canada. And even Alberta, white and redneck, has now become multi-ethnic. All over the province, in the smallest of towns. Next slide. And the questions are being asked by those in Alberta. How do we relate to other cultures? How do we share the gospel across cultures? Next slide. This is a small group that I'm working in Edmonton. My wife and I are teaching this group, teaching them how to teach the Bible to others so that more small groups can multiply across the city. Next slide. The third aspect of my ministry is something called Leaders 4. That's Fellowship International's department for training leaders. And next slide, I've been traveling to the Philippines as part of a team of coaches who are training pastors there. Next slide. The pastors are learning how to study the Bible in a way that helps them teach the method to others. Next slide. Two groups of pastors and church leaders are involved in the training, and they are planting churches. We're going to talk about that during the message this morning. Next slide. February, I traveled to two locations in Indonesia, also with Leaders 4, to investigate the possibility of starting a training project there. Next slide. We met with the leaders of a Baptist denomination who asked us to assist them in training their pastors. Next slide. So in one location, the situation is established pastors who want training on how to better disciple others. But in the second location, the situation is quite different. Next slide. This group began to respond to the gospel 12 years ago. And as new believers from a Muslim background, they're asking for assistance in teaching others how to teach the Bible and study for themselves. Next slide. 12 years. Yeah, I'm waiting for that to sink in. Okay. 12 years, 60,000 decisions for Christ among that people movement. You're allowed to say yay or amen or something like that at this point. Good. Okay. Next slide. Thank you for your support for this ministry and how you have been praying and how you have been corresponding and how you have been encouraging. Thank you for that. So please pray for impact from the projects that are going on, more literature, more videos that are being produced. For that Indonesia project, we are looking for 6 churches to support that in sending coaches and financial help. In May, I'm going to be going back to Indonesia to make the final arrangements for that project. And pray for my wife Donna and I in Edmonton as we are continuing to look for opportunities to be Christ's salt and light there in that city. Thank you for praying for us as we balance all of that together. Churches in Canada, we are going on to the second part of this now. I feel like I'm just continuing on from what the worship team has been doing, what has been read through the scripture, what we've been talking about and hearing God and his greatness and his holiness working all throughout the world. You've had a wonderful introduction to what you're about to be studying right now in God's word. Churches in Canada, like yourselves, are asked to regularly support cross-cultural missionaries around the world. And to send somebody cross-culturally means that they have to go and learn that new culture, they have to learn a new language, they have to have the financial support. And often there are nationals there who have the language and have the culture, and we feel that the nationals who are there could be doing the job more effectively than actually sending somebody cross-culturally. So why are we sending people with all of that effort to make that ministry possible around the world? Is it not time to keep our money back here in Canada and use the money here because the needs here are so great? Well, perhaps not surprisingly, given who I am, I'm going to urge you to look on the other side of that, and that, yes, it is still time to be sending people cross-culturally around the world. Canadians need to be supporting those who go. So the first slide that's going to go up there, go Canada, go. What did you expect from a hockey fan? Okay, so we'll stick with that theme throughout this message this morning. And I'll ask you please to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, first book in the New Testament, Matthew. Last chapter of the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and the last verses of that chapter. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. Now, some of you have been going to church since you were little kids, and you have heard dozens and dozens of messages on this passage. Some of you could get up here and preach messages on this passage, and Pastor Vic would no doubt be delighted to hear that and give you an opportunity for it. But for those of you who are new to this passage, I hope it's going to be encouraging. And for those of you who have heard this passage many times before, I hope it's going to be refreshing and encouraging as you consider what God is doing around the world. People who have a better grasp of grammar than I do in the Greek language have said that these verses are actually one command with a bunch of qualifiers. So the command is make disciples. The qualifiers are go, baptize, and teach them. So it's like your mom saying to you, clean the house by doing the dishes, vacuuming, and cleaning your room. So cleaning the house is the big command. How you're going to do it are these other things that she has put into that. So make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching them. That's the command. And that's what we've been given by Christ and what we now call the Great Commission. Christ has committed that to us for us to go out and carry that out around the world. Next slide. The good news is the king, I'm going to bounce on to the next slide. I didn't give you a heads up on that. And the next one. There we go. Okay, thank you. Sorry, Sherry. The good news is the kingdom is growing around the world. People have been obeying this Great Commission. They have been going into various cultures, and we've been seeing what is being accomplished in the name of Jesus around the world. Next slide. BBC, which is not a Christian organization, reported last year in its news reporting that more people would be gathering at Easter time in 2016 than there were Communist Party members in China. That's your God working in the nation of China. That is wonderful, what is happening there. Next slide. Iran, the Ayatollah, extreme Shia Islam. He's the greatest thing to have happened to the church in 2,000 years. Because of that extreme Shia Islam, so many people are coming to faith. It's estimated that there are over 100,000 Christians now in Iran who've rejected Islam and come to faith in Jesus Christ, your brothers and your sisters. Next slide. Africa. Turn of the 20th century, small percentage of Christians in that entire continent. 100 years of work in the name of Jesus Christ, and now at the beginning of the 21st century, half of the continent says that they belong to the Christian faith. Praise God for what he's been doing around the world. Next slide. My brother, June Sol, was called back to the Philippines last month because his niece was not expected to live very long. So he got there before she died, and in the days before she passed away, June, in working with people who were coming to commiserate, to condole with the family, led six people to the Lord. At the funeral of his niece, the gospel was preached, and six more people came to the Lord. And then before June came back here to Canada, because he was in the Philippines, they decided to have a birthday party for his father, and more people came to the Lord. I'm sure this happens at your birthday parties here in Canada all the time, right? Isn't that it? I mean, praise God for what he's doing around the world. This is your God, your Jesus, working in all of these places around the world. Next slide. Last month I was in Indonesia, and those are the numbers again of what's been happening there in the island of Java. These are all people from a Muslim background who have been coming to faith. When somebody in your small group leads somebody else to faith, they ask, can we bring those new people to the small group? And you say, no, you led them to the Lord, you start a small group with them. And teach them what? Well, whatever you learned so far, you teach them that. Well, what if they lead somebody to the Lord? Well, then they start a small group with that person. And everything that they've learned from you, they'll teach to them. This is how we do it here in Canada, right? Okay, we want to be doing that here in Canada in that same way. Next slide. That is the good news. God is working all around the world. 10% of the earth now claims to be part of the evangelical segment of Christianity. And that's fantastic what is happening. Good. Okay, Rod, we get that. This is great. Things are happening around the world. We're delighted to hear that. Why are you telling us we still need to send missionaries then? If so much is going good, why are we spending all our money sending missionaries around the world? So I'm going to tell you a little bit of our story that my wife and I experienced when we went out to Pakistan. 30 years ago, we get to Pakistan. We have to learn the language. We have to learn how to dress differently. We have to cope with the heat and the mosquitoes. We have to cope with a totally new way of thinking. But the thing that stunned me most when we got there was that missions that had been actively involved in Pakistan for over 100 years were packing up and going home. Their job was done. There were church buildings all over Pakistan. 3 to 4 million people from one ethnic group had come to faith. There were pastors in robes. There were pews all over the countryside. So surely the job was done and they needed to go back. So what are Rod and Donna doing just starting ministry in Pakistan? What are we doing? Why are we spending all this effort? If you've heard of a writer named John Piper, he's written many books on missions, on devotion to God, and he made a statement once that says that missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. When worship is all that there is, missions will cease to exist. Amen. But until that time, missions are still carrying on. We do missions for the sake of his name, which means for his glory, for his sake. That's why we're out there, so that Jesus' name is going to be praised around the world in all people groups, in all ethnicities, and everybody's going to have the chance to be able to worship God. So let me look at it this way. Next slide. That's the bad news side of the good news, right? So if 10% of the world does know Jesus Christ, 100 minus 10, we're going to have to do math on a Sunday morning, I'm sorry. But I gave you the answer up there if it makes it easier. Yeah, 90% of the world still doesn't know Jesus Christ. 90% of Vancouver still doesn't know Jesus Christ. And way more than that as a percentage of Pakistan doesn't know Jesus Christ. Next slide. And we'll just have that up there for a minute. When we went to Pakistan, we were sent to plant churches among the Sindhi people group, who have their own language and their own culture. There were 4 million Christians in Pakistan at that time, but they were from a different ethnic group. And because of that, they were not preparing to learn the language of this Muslim people group to be able to take the gospel to them. They weren't interested in adapting to that culture. They weren't interested in learning the ways of singing that this group did. So that group still needed cross-cultural missionaries to come from another place in order to bring them the gospel. Next slide. Fellowship International, the group that I'm working with, your ministry, specializes in two things. One is taking the gospel to people groups who are unreached, like the Sindhis in Pakistan. And the second is working with local churches to get them doing the job. In other words, working ourselves out of a job That's what we want to do in all of the places that we travel to. Next slide. So we'll go back to the blank one again. In Pakistan, we were the main means. This team that we consisted of were the means for getting the Bible translated into Sindhi. We were the means of getting the songbook put into Sindhi. We produced literature for evangelism, books, music, videos. And because of that initial work, people came to faith, leaders were trained. Those leaders are now on the front lines. And the cross-cultural team of missionaries has been able to pull back and watch them doing it, training them, providing them with resources so that they can go places that we never could as foreigners and be able to take the gospel in there. We're doing that in other countries as well, around the world, France, Poland, Japan, training leaders so that they would be able to lead the ministry for themselves. And the cool part is as you continue to do that all around the world, watch what God does as he moves people around. In Pakistan now, it's not just Canadians and Americans who are on that team. We have our first Brazilian couple who have just come in to work in the hospital there. We have two Ethiopian couples coming to work in Pakistan on our team. And we're praising God for the way that he is creating multicultural teams in Pakistan, reaching the Pakistanis. And the Pakistanis don't know what to do with that, because they're not used to working together in other ethnicities like that. Korea, 100 years ago, wasn't Christian. Korea today is almost 40% Christian. Koreans come to Canada, and you know of all our Korean churches that are here in Vancouver. When they call a pastor from Korea to come here to minister in Vancouver, they come with the idea that I'm going to be doing missions in Canada. I will be taking this church to do something in Canada. And so our Korean churches here in the Lower Mainland are going onto First Nations reservations and planting churches, which is something that white people can't do because there's such a wall between us and the First Nations. The Koreans come in with their different culture. They don't have a bad history between them and the First Nations. They understand about respecting elders. They understand about community. And God's using Korean missionaries to reach our First Nations. That's our God, who is not restricted by one culture going to another culture, but insists on moving the pieces all around the world. And praise God for what he is doing. Well, if we need help here in Canada to get the job done, then surely the other places around the world are sincere when they're asking for help as well. So I'll put that one back up on there. Again, go, Canada, go, all right? We've got people coming here to help. We need you in Canada continuing to go out to other places around the world. That second aspect that I talked about, first aspect, going to unreached people groups, the second aspect, training ourselves, training nationals to do the job, working ourselves out of a job. Next slide. Again, in that passage from Matthew chapter 28 that we read, making disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. In my ministry report, I mentioned that I'd been going to the Philippines to preach, to teach. The Philippines is officially a Christian country. It's the only one in Southeast Asia. And 20% of the Philippines is Protestant. So why are we sending missionaries to the Philippines? That doesn't quite make sense. The pastors there are seeing people saved and baptized far faster than we are here in Canada, and they are planting churches there in the Philippines as fast as they can get another building put up. Now in Indonesia, one of the groups that invited us has an association of 600 churches. That's bigger than the fellowship here in Canada. And you heard the good news that 60,000 people have come to Christ in the other location. So why are we going to the Philippines and Indonesia to help? Seems like they should be coming here to help us. The thing that they have asked us to come in to do is to teach. Something that we have an abundance of in Canada is resources, spiritual resources. You can buy Bibles here in Canada in hundreds of translations and languages. Thousands of books are available for purchase. The library at the seminary in Indonesia asked me if I could bring books back with me, and I put out the word in my newsletter. Pastors, do you have any spare commentaries, theological works? So thanks to this weekend, I've got to get 200 pounds of books back to Edmonton to join the other 200 pounds of spare books to take to Indonesia for their library, because we've got resources here. We've got so many resources, and they're saying, would you come and share those resources and teach us how to do it there? In South Indonesia, when they meet for their house church, they have five things that they do in church. They will fellowship, they will pray, they will read the scriptures, they will sing, and they will teach the word. So I asked the group there, because this is in every house church, so you get together, everybody fellowships, no problem. If you ask someone to pray, will they pray? Oh yeah, probably everybody in our group will pray. If you ask them to sing, will they sing? Everybody would sing. Sure, they love singing. If you ask them to read the scriptures, will they read? Everybody in our group, if they can read, they would be happy to read. You ask them to teach the Bible, how does it go? Oh, no. That's Pastor Vic. He's the one that teaches the Bible. He's the only one that knows how to do that. In all of your house churches, it's like this. You only have one person that can teach. What if there was a way to teach everybody in the group how to study the Bible so that they could teach the Bible to everybody, to study the Bible, how to teach the Bible to others? And that's what we're going to be going to do. So these people who are coming to faith in all of these locations are being taught as leaders how to lead others into the Bible so that they can be leading others into the Bible. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to do anything that they can't do themselves. We're going to go do this and get out and watch them carry on the work that is happening. There's one more benefit of doing that. When we ask churches here in Canada to send missionaries cross-culturally, when we ask churches here in Canada to send coaches to the Philippines or to Indonesia, they come back to Canada having seen all of those people coming to faith, having watched baptisms, having seen new churches being planted, and they come back to Canada excited. And then missions leak all over the place. And you have these people who have seen what God is doing in other locations coming back with that excitement. Can this happen here in Canada as well? And you watch what they then begin to do. That's why we still need missionaries. Some go to do evangelism in unreached people groups. Some go to do teaching among reached peoples so that they can more effectively reach people from their own ethnic group and then on to other nations. Next slide. Go, baptize and make disciples, teach them to obey. It's just one more thing in the passage which I want to emphasize. Next slide. The good news was that there was 10% of the world believing. The bad news is 90% of the world is not believing. Let me give you some more good news. Next slide. You have all of the authority of Jesus to do that here in Canada. Aren't these verses just for really, really special people like pastors and evangelistic types? Like, go and make disciples. Missionaries, they like these verses. Then they come and hammer us, but these verses really aren't intended for ordinary Christians, are they? Are they? Yes, they are. Yes, they are intended for ordinary Christians. But the cool part is that Jesus, the one that we sang about at the beginning of the service, the name under which no one else can be saved on earth except through the name of Jesus, he's given you all of his authority to go and preach. When we were in Pakistan, I expected people to ask me, by what right are you here in Pakistan preaching your message of Christianity? Who did the government send you? Is the government paying your salary to be here in Pakistan preaching this message? No. I expected that question, and we got it a lot. What I didn't expect was coming back to Canada and having Canadians ask me that. Most people in Pakistan have got their own religion. What right do you have to go over there and tell them about your religion? That's very, very presumptuous of you. I really wasn't prepared to have Christians ask me that question as well. And we've had that. By what right are you going over there and trying to proselytize, trying to convert, trying to carry your message to them? The right is, next slide, Jesus claims all authority in heaven and on earth, right? All doesn't leave a lot of room for wiggle. He claims all authority here in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, he commands us to go. Verse 20, he says he's going to be with us always. By what right do you have to preach in Pakistan? Well, your prophet Esau and my prophet Jesus commanded me to come. Not the government, not my denomination. Jesus, the King of heaven, has commanded me to be here to bring this message to you. And when you go in the name of Jesus here in Canada, you've got exactly the same authority to do that. Next slide. Philippians 6. And in 9 to 11, there's that little passage, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. It's going to happen. One day, everybody on earth is going to be bowing down to Jesus. So when people in Canada, maybe even people here in the church, ask you, what gives us the right to send missionaries to preach the good news, to preach Christianity all around the world? And you say, Jesus gives me the right. His name gives me the right. His name is my badge. His name is my passport. His name is my visa as I travel around. It's like writing a check when I'm doing Jesus' work and having Jesus sign the check. It's going to get done. It's going to get cashed. His name, his backing, his authority, and it's higher even than any Canadian sense of tolerance. Ouch. But you're going to be taking that to Canadians, the right to proclaim his name. So the next slide, I named this sermon, Go Canada Go. Whether that means you're going to be actually going to a different culture, to a different place around the world, or whether you're going to be going next door. Go Canada Go. The job isn't done. Some of you may be new to this church. Some of you may be even new to following Jesus. So for you, this might be a nice surprise. To others of you who have been in this church for a long, long time, you're not going to be surprised by what I'm about to say. This church has always had a strong tradition of supporting missions. If you don't believe that, ask the pastor, ask anybody on the committee, somebody who's been in the church for a long time. This church has been supporting us in this ministry for over 30 years. And you've been supporting missionaries around the world for a lot longer than that. Missions is part of this church. We want you to carry that on. We encourage you to keep doing what you've been doing, to take that acronym that the pastor said about speak and do that all around the world, including here in Vancouver, so that we can hear the encouraging things that are happening here because of God's ministry through this church. Keep it up. Keep on sending missionaries. Share the gospel and to teach. God bless you as you continue to do that.